Hello, everyone. Nice to see you all. Katie reminded us of what a beautiful day it is today. It's so beautiful today. So the title of today's message is Worthy is the Lamb. And the key verse is 9. If you can see it, you can help me read it along. And they sang a new song. You are worthy to take the scroll and to open its seals, because you were slain, and with your blood you purchased men for God from every tribe and language and people and nation. You have made them to be a kingdom and priests to serve our God, and they will reign on the earth. Amen. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, only you are worthy. You are the Lamb that was slain from the foundations of the world. And even though you are only worthy, yet you make us also to be a kingdom of priests to serve you. Help us to do this with true praise and worship as we fix our eyes on Jesus. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. So today we'll be looking at the 24 elders who played the harps and who had bowls of incense. So now we have 25 elders. Joe is playing the harp, he's the 25th. And Peter is the 26th elder because he's singing a new song. He's bringing a new voice to our praise and worship. So really thank God for these young people. So part one, he is able to open the scroll. Verse 1 through 5 reads, Then I saw in the right hand of him who sat on the throne a scroll with writing on both sides and sealed with 7 seals. And I saw a mighty angel proclaiming in a loud voice, Who is worthy to break the seals and open the scroll? But no one in heaven or on earth or under the earth could open the scroll or even look inside it. I wept and wept because no one was found who was worthy to open the scroll or look inside. Then one of the elders said to me, Do not weep. See, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the Root of David, has triumphed. He is able to open the scroll and his 7 seals. Through his humility and obedience, the Lamb that was slain became the Lion of the tribe of Judah. The title of the Lion of Judah is the fulfillment of Jacob's prophecy when he blessed his sons, if you remember that in the Old Testament. Jacob said, Judah is a lion's cub. Jacob foresaw a royal dynasty emerging from the tribe of Judah. As the promised heir from Judah, Jesus had the legal right of kingship to rule. From Isaiah 11, we also read, A shoot will come up from the stump of Jesse. From his roots, a branch will bear fruit. And in that day, the root of Jesse will stand as a banner for the peoples. The nations will rally to him, and his resting place will be glorious. Before John is the vision of God holding the scroll, which is the unfolding or the revealing of God's plan in the last days and in the last hour. However, verse 3 describes that no one in heaven or on earth or under the earth could open the scroll or even look inside it. So John said, I wept and wept because no one was found. In a sense, Christians are looking forward to the end of the age when all wrongs will be righted, all injustice will be dealt with, and all of the enemies of Christ will lose. As we have been saying in our study of the book of Revelation, Jesus wins. Worship him. But what do we do in the meantime? In a sense, we are like the Apostle John. Christians need to weep for the world that is waiting for the revelation from God. The church must not only weep for the condition of our world, which in these last days has become so terribly depraved and godless, but we also need to weep for ourselves when we see that we fall short of what God desires of us. In this last hour of history, we should weep enough to abandon whatever hindrances we have that are separating us from God, so that we are ready to take part in the unfolding of the scroll at the end of the age. This awesome scene should certainly encourage the faithful Christian. And what does the scroll represent? The scroll reveals how God would manifest his righteous judgment, and also how God is going to establish a new heavens and a new earth. As the seals are broken, we have the revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave him to show what must take place after this. Part 2, you have made them to be a kingdom and priests. Verses 6 through 8 read, "Then I saw a lamb, looking as if it had been slain, standing at the center of the throne, encircled by the four living creatures and the elders. The lamb had seven horns and seven eyes, which are the seven spirits of God sent out into all the earth. He went and took the scroll from the right hand of him who sat on the throne. And when he had taken it, the four living creatures and the 24 elders fell down before the lamb. Each one had a harp, and they were holding golden bowls full of incense, which are the prayers of God's people. And they sang a new song. You are worthy to take the scroll and to open its seals, because you were slain, and with your blood you purchased for God persons from every tribe and language and people and nation." Last week, in Daniel's message, we saw the imagery of the one who sits on the throne, adorned in jasper and with an emerald rainbow around him. Here in chapter 5, the focus shifts from the one on the throne to the description of the lamb, as John describes him, as one who had been slain. The lamb goes to the throne and takes the scroll. He takes it because he alone is worthy to take it. There is no one else that can take the scroll and unseal it. Why? Because only the lamb who was slain is worthy. Isaiah tells us he was oppressed and afflicted, yet he did not open his mouth. He was led like a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before its shearers is silent, so he did not open his mouth. Jesus became the lion of the tribe of Judah. Yet we also read in Philippians that he made himself nothing by taking the very nature of a servant and humbled himself, becoming obedient to death, even death on a cross. Jesus humbled himself under the hand of God. Some years ago, I read about a famous pianist who was touring the museum house of Beethoven in Germany. They asked this famous pianist if he would sit down at the very piano that Beethoven played on and asked if he could play something on it. However, he declined, saying, "I am not worthy to play on the same instrument that Beethoven played." This man was a great pianist, but he was a humble man. In our world, many are held up as the proud, the great and mighty. Many professional athletes, rock musicians, the rich, famous, and powerful are all held in high esteem by the world. But when Jesus humbled himself as the Lamb of God, God raised him up to the highest place. So in heaven, there's only one Lamb, and he is the only one worthy to take the scroll because he humbled himself unto death. There is no other, no false God, no false prophet, no mighty men of religion or of faith can open the scrolls. Not even Billy Graham, nor Mother Teresa, nor the Dalai Lama, did I say that right? Dalai Lama, are not worthy to open the scroll. Only the Lamb. He has seven horns, signifying complete power, and seven eyes, signifying the seven spirits of God sent out into the earth with complete vision of all that transpires on the earth. So verse 9 and 10 is our key verse. It says, "Worthy are you to take the scroll and to open its seals, for you were slain, and by your blood you ransomed people for God from every tribe and language and people and nation, and you have made them a kingdom of priests to our God, and they shall reign on the earth." The biblical concept of a kingdom of priests is very well known in our church. Notice it says that God has made us into a kingdom of priests. It reminded me of a book I read many years ago that was titled Disciples Are Made, Not Born. Disciples are made. Whether they like it or not, whether we like it or not, we fall under the hammer of God as he chips away our inadequacies and weaknesses. As a piano teacher, I find that each student has his or her strengths and weaknesses. Many times, students just want to work on their strengths and tend to neglect their weaknesses. For example, one piano student of mine can play very fast. That's all she wants to do, is to play very fast. So I have to tell her to slow down and learn how to play very slowly and very expressively. I teach them the importance of improving on their weaknesses so that their weaknesses will be turned into strengths. As a church, we have had many strengths. In fact, churches all over the world have many strengths. But as we find out, many churches have many weaknesses also. In our church, we found out that we have many weaknesses, but we are finally addressing so that we may turn these weaknesses into strengths. Just as Hebrews 11 tells us about those whose weakness was turned into strength and who became powerful in battle. We all carry to some degree the hurts, the wounds, the scars of our upbringing. We also carry the baggage of our own sins. Ultimately, you and I alone are responsible for our spiritual condition. We cannot fall into blaming others for whatever our condition is. These days, practically all of society is wearing masks to prevent the spread of COVID-19. And well, we should, because there is still no end in sight for the virus. Although I saw one man who was in a retail store who didn't have a mask on, but he had a shirt that said, "I believe in the Corona beer." That's what it said. But if we are to become a kingdom of priests, not just ostensibly, but in reality, we need to take off the spiritual masks we use to cover our weaknesses. If we are filled with sort of an outward bravado, yet remain weak inwardly, then we are doing nothing more than building a house of cards that eventually will fall. Yes, our church was strong in many outward things, but our inner character also needs to be integrated with what we do. These days, our church leadership is helping people to discover their inner selves and the bearing that it has on us now. As Christ makes us into a kingdom of priests to serve him, we divest all of our weaknesses by taking off our spiritual masks and bringing our weaknesses into the light and finding healing. Then we can truly become a kingdom of priests to serve our God. But how do we do this? You know, we live in space and time. We are not in the throne room of God, although in a sense we invisibly are. Rather, we are constantly surrounded by the walls of our home, of our workplace, our car, and our church building. We are not the 24 elders of the four beasts. But just as the elders and beasts worship the Lamb, so does Hebrews 12, 1 and 2 say to us, "And let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God." Just as the elders and the beasts worship the Lamb in heaven, so too we fix our eyes on Jesus in the here and now, just as they did. As we fix our eyes on Jesus, we will walk in the light. Part 3, to him who sits on the throne and to the Lamb. Another song, the second song, was sung by all of heaven. "Then I looked and heard the voice of many angels, numbering thousands upon thousands and 10,000 times 10,000. Okay, you math majors, what's 10,000 times 10,000? Okay, it's 100 million. And if I'm wrong on that, I'm in big trouble. So this huge, myriad, vast choir of angels encircled the throne and the living creatures and the elders, and in a loud voice they were saying, "Worthy is the Lamb who was slain to receive power and wealth and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and praise. To him who sits on the throne and to the Lamb be praise and honor and glory and power forever and ever. Amen." This is the text from which Handel wrote his great chorus, "Worthy is the Lamb," and the powerful fugue, which in the King James Version, if you can remember this, it goes, "Blessing and honor, glory and praise be unto him, unto him who sitteth upon the throne." That's that great fugue. There are over 100 million angels who are singing, and all who are on earth join in this song, every creature under the earth and on the sea. What would this sound like? You know, years ago, I led the Hallelujah Chorus at Michigan State. It was an 835 voice chorus in a 90-piece orchestra. To me, it sounded like thunder. But what would 100 million angels sound like? Can't even imagine it. They are celebrating the Lamb who is worthy of all praise and honor. Why? Because the Lamb and God the Father will sit on the throne of heaven forever and ever. They are celebrating the impending establishment of Jesus' kingdom. Revelation 21:4 tells us, I don't know if you can see that. Oh, you can see it. He will wipe every tear from their eyes. There will be no more death or mourning or crying or pain, for the old order of things has passed away. Are you looking forward to that day? Amen. No wonder they were singing such praise to the Lamb. Verse 13 reads, can you read that with me? Can you read it? Go. "Then I heard every creature in heaven and on earth and under the earth and on the sea and all that is in them saying, to him who sits on the throne and to the Lamb be praise and honor and glory and power forever and ever." I love the three cats singing into the microphone there. That was fun. And if you can imagine dolphins singing also. So what does all this mean? It is a huge, vast picture, kind of like too much for our mind and our heart to take in. Excuse me. God is on his throne is what this means. The Lamb that was slain has received the seven sealed scroll. And as he receives it, all of heaven and earth sing a new song, full of joy and praise for what is about to happen through the revealing of this scroll. And the revealing of the scroll is not just a matter of God meting out divine justice. It is about the fact that the whole earth is soon to be restored to its original sin-free condition. Romans 8:21 and 22, that the creation itself will be set free from its bondage to corruption and obtain the freedom of the glory of the children of God. Amen. In conclusion, first, John wept as he awaited the revelation of God in the final hour. In a sense, our church also needs to weep for others who are waiting for the revelation of God. Secondly, Jesus has triumphed over sin and death as the Lamb who was slain. Only he is worthy to open the scroll, which also means that only he is worthy of our best praise and honor and worship. And yet, he includes us in his victory by making us into a kingdom of priests, whose weaknesses are turned to strength and who become powerful in battle. Thirdly, because the Lamb has triumphed, we sing a new song to God and to the Lamb. As we fix our eyes on Jesus, it is not just a new song, but it is a new spirit of praise and a new spirit of worship. Worthy is the Lamb who was slain to receive power and wealth and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and praise. Amen. Say with me, worthy is the Lamb. Ready? Worthy is the Lamb. Amen. Let's read our key verse. Ready? And they sang a new song. You are worthy to take the scroll and to open its seals, because you were slain, and with your blood you purchased men from God, from every tribe and language and people and nation. You have made them to be a kingdom and priests to serve our God, and they will reign on the earth. Amen. Let's pray. Father in heaven, thank you, Lord, for this wonderful unveiling of what is going on in heaven, even now. We can hardly imagine it because we are surrounded by time and space. And yet, in heaven, all are waiting for the revelation of God in the last hour. But like John, help us also to weep for those now who are waiting for the revelation of God, for those who are waiting to find resolution to sin and sorrow and disease and death. Secondly, thank you, Lord, that you have triumphed over sin and death, that through the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, people can find healing, they can find victory over death, and victory over disease, and victory over COVID-19. Thank you, Lord, that you help us, you allow us to share in this victory by making us into a kingdom of priests. And Lord, thank you that because the Lamb has triumphed, we can sing a new song. But singing a new song is not just singing a new song, but it is having a new spirit of praise and worship to you, the Lamb who sits on the throne. Thank you, and we thank you for this wonderful vision that you have given us. In Jesus' name we pray, amen.